So 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15 says, "And he said, Listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, don't be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's." The battle is not yours, but God's. You know, I love worship. And I believe God is seeking for worshipers in the spirit and truth. And, you know, the only verse in the Bible where God specifically says, I am seeking for something. And you know, when Jesus said, my Father is seeking for worshipers in the spirit and truth. That's powerful. For me, God teaches us that in heaven, the most important offering is worship. The most important activity in heaven is worship. And if you've been to heaven, and I know that sounds like, what do you mean if you've been to heaven? Sounds like, if you've been to Joondalup. No, if you've been to heaven, can you go to heaven? Yes, you can. Can you see heaven? Yes, sure. So if you've been to heaven, how many of you have been to heaven? Now, I'm not getting a lot of amens here. But the Lord can show you heaven because there is a communication. There's an open communication between heavens and earth, you know. As it is in heaven, so let it be done on earth. Jesus always communicated that intention, that the Father's intention is for his children to have that open line, that open communication, that open breach between heaven and earth. So we have access to heaven. When people say, no, you don't. Yes, we do. You know, and you can read it. This is not a sales speech, but if you read my book, Boy Preacher, chapter 1 of Boy Preacher will tell you a very powerful, amazing, incredible, supernatural experience I had when I was 11 years old. And I was in my room, and I was being baptized by the Holy Spirit. And after praying for a couple of hours, I literally was taken to heaven, you know, in the spirit. Whether it was an open-eye vision or, you know, closed, I don't know. But all the details are in my book, so in case if you want to, you know, read it later on. It was a very powerful story, very powerful vision, sorry. And then God showed me a few things. And one of the things that I saw in heaven, and can I say this? Because I kind of sense like there's a lot of mature people in the room, right? So one of the things that I saw in heaven, one of the things that I felt in heaven was that the worship, the constant offering of worship given to God. The worship, the music, heaven was saturated with worship. Let me put it that way. Everywhere I went and everywhere you know, I turned to in heaven, there was worship. There was music playing in the background. And so my experience actually matches with a lot of other experiences of great men of God and great people that have gone to heaven. They have all said the same thing. When they come back, they say, there was worship in heaven. There was worship playing in the background in heaven. So worship is the vital, you know, resource in heaven. And so God is always seeking for worshipers in spirit and truth. And now, can I tell you this, church? For me, it's amazing that God would actually silence his angels, the best worship team in this universe, right? That he would silence the angels and that he would turn around and he would pay attention to your worship. And you can have a wonderful, beautiful voice. But you can, you know, some people have a window shattering anointing, you know. And some people do know how to worship. Some others don't. But God doesn't care. He really doesn't care. He wants your worship. And when you give him your worship, he will rejoice. He will delight with you. He loves it. The Bible says that he loves the worship of his people. And if you study the model of the tabernacle right before you get into the holy place, actually into the Holy of Holies, there's a place, there's an altar of incense, and that represents a place of worship. And you know, before you get into the holy place, you are in the outer court, and in the outer court, that's the place of sacrifice, that's the place of offering. So when you come into the presence of God, you offer yourself, Number one, it's a living offering. It's a living sacrifice. And number two, you offer yourself as an offering of worship. So when you come through the holy place, you actually surrender and you become a worshiper. Because that's the ultimate goal, is not for you to become a disciple or just a good leader or a good church folk. God is actually seeking for worshipers in spirit and truth. So the Bible doesn't say he's seeking for intercessors. The Bible doesn't say he's seeking for prayer warriors. The Bible doesn't say he's seeking for good tithers and givers. The Bible actually says that he is seeking for worshipers in spirit and truth. That means that it matters to God. It matters to God that we become worshipers in spirit and truth. And I tell you why. Because when you become a worshiper in spirit and truth, then you will know the heart of the Father. Because then you'll be able to walk through the holy place, and then you'll be able to go beyond the holy place, and then you'll be able to go into the holy of holies, and then your worship becomes so powerful that then you'll be able to have intimacy with the Father, and then you'll be able to see visions and open visions, and you'll be able to eat the manna from heaven. Isn't that awesome? You're like, wow, that sounds great. But that's not my reality right now. Well, that should be your reality. It should be our daily reality. You know, when Jesus, when the disciples came in, they were all curious. And they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, well, I'm going to teach you one thing. You know, when he started praying, what did he say? He could have said, you know, God, you know, blessed be your name. He could have said, you know, thank God for creation, or thank God, you know, for the oxygen we breathe. Or he could have said anything, right? No, but he said one thing which is profound, and it actually lays down the foundation of Christianity from day one. And he basically said, our Father. That's how he started. When he said, our Father, immediately he's teaching his disciples, number one, that they have a Father. And number two, that relationship matters in heaven. Oh, come on. Are you getting this? So God, you're not God's nephew. You're not God's cousin. You're God's child. And he loves you. And he loves spending time with you. And he loves dancing and, you know, just spending time with you. How many of you love spending time with the Father? I mean, if you came here in the cold, in the rain, I'm sure you love spending time with the Father. So worship is like, wow, it's like the number one thing you can offer to God. You know, when you worship. I did many crazy and radical things when I was a child. Like, you know, I used to while riding the bus, I used to get on my knees and pray, you know, on the bus, pray out loud. And my dad was sitting next to me. He's like, oh, he's not my son. You know, I don't know him, you know. He was so embarrassed because I used to pray really loud. And not because I wanted people to see me, but I was passionate, you know. I was an 11-year-old, and I was crazy for Jesus. I was in love. And all I wanted to say and tell the world is that Jesus, you know, Jesus is alive, and Jesus did an incredible miracle in my life, and he healed me, and I wanted to tell everybody, you know, no matter who came across my path. You know, a dog or a cat could have come across my path, and I would have witnessed and evangelized the cat and the dog. You know what I'm saying? I had so much passion. In fact, one time I prayed for a puppy, you know, but that's besides the story. So, I know a friend of mine in Knoxville, Tennessee, who actually asked me to lay hands on her puppies. And she was having communion with the puppies. I'm like, you're taking it too far, lady. You're really taking it too far. What do you mean you're having communion with the puppies? I've never seen anything like that, you know. But she was having communion with her puppy. And I'm like, oh, it looks too cute, but I'm not sure if this is acceptable in heaven, you know. But anyways, you know. So I was so passionate about telling people, you know, how much Jesus loves them. And you know, I just wanted to pray for people. And see, when you are a worshiper, you become so open to the Holy Spirit. When you are a worshiper, you don't really care what people say. when you're a worshiper, you become so open to God. And you become, let me put it this way, when you are a worshiper, you become a broken-hearted believer. See, there's a difference between a broken-hearted believer and someone who has not gone through the process of brokenness. Let me put it this way. Someone who is a broken-hearted believer comes to church with an expectation of encountering God. They don't come to church with the expectation of, well, let me see what the pastor's going to say today. Let me check it out. Or they don't just sit there with an expectation of checking God out. Hello? They come to church with an expectation of encountering God, because from day one they love God and they want more of God, and they can't get enough of God. How many of you can get enough of God? Come on, raise your hand. Both hands. Amen. You're like, I can't get enough of God. I love God so much. And I go to all these places and conferences and sessions and ministry time. And I worship at home, and I worship while I'm driving. Just don't close your eyes, because you're going to see God before I do. You know? But you just worship all the time. That's becoming a worshiper. That's, you are actually walking as a worshiper. That's a worshiper. That's what a worshiper does. Like David. You are restoring the tabernacle of David in your own house. Isn't that awesome? You know why Jesus spoke about the tabernacle of David? You know why God spoke about the tabernacle of David? You know why God said, I'm going to restore the tabernacle of David? Just for one simple reason. Can you guess what it is? Worship. There's one simple reason that tabernacle stood out, and even it was more relevant in the scripture than the temple Solomon built and the tabernacle of Moses, even though it was a glorious tabernacle and the glory of God used to descend, and you know, and people used to have encounters with God and all of that, prophets and, you know, Moses, and you know, it was a great tabernacle, great tent. But God decided to restore not the tabernacle of Moses nor the temple, but he wanted to restore the tabernacle of David. And the reason why David's tent is because worship was the main attraction. See, God loves worship. And when you become a worshiper in spirit and truth, it doesn't matter where you are. You're not limited by time, by a place. You don't just worship at church. You worship 24/7. You worship in, you know, when you're at home, listening to the radio. You know, when I feel down, weary, and when I feel like I've had a bad day, I just put the worship music on, and I close my eyes, and I have a good time with the Lord. How many of you know that there is power in worship? You know, like Jehoshaphat, he's facing the army. He knows it's bad news. He knows that he's outnumbered. He knows that he can't really win that battle. But then he just goes into the secret place. He gets down on his knees. He starts praying. God gives him a strategy. And then he starts worshiping. And then what happens? The army gets confused. God sends a spirit of confusion. And the enemy's army gets confused. That's what will happen to you when you become a worshiper. You know, you will be the best intercessor. You will be the best warrior. You will be the best prayer warrior, the best intercessor when you are a worshiper. A worshiper knows how to listen from the Father. A worshiper knows how to have intimacy with the Father, how to be intimate with the Father. So if you want to get this, you know, and it takes baby steps. And a worshiper will walk in the supernatural. Isn't that awesome? A worshiper will walk in the supernatural. I don't care how long you do it. This is not, you're not abiding by the law. You're living in the grace of God. So I don't care if you do it for many hours or, you know, God doesn't care. He wants your heart. He wants your best offering. And so if you want to see the supernatural, you need to take steps of faith. You need to take baby steps of faith. You know, when Jesus prayed for the first person, one of the first miracles Jesus saw and he witnessed was that lady that was healed of fever. Remember that story in the Bible? You know, Peter's mother-in-law, I believe. And You know, some people say that's why Jesus did not, that's why Peter denied Jesus, you know, because he healed his mother-in-law. Hello? No, I'm joking, you know. You know? But some people might say that. But, yeah. So, anyways, you know, when you take baby steps of faith, you will see God moving in your life. Do you believe that? When you take baby steps of faith, God is going to move in your favor. God is going to open doors for you. God is going to come through in your life. God is going to show you his glory. You know, the first person I prayed for when I was 11 years old, I was taken to this house. This lady heard about me, and she wanted me to pray for her. She had so much faith, she thought she was going to be healed. She was in her 80s. And the family had so much faith, they thought that, you know, she was going to get healed because I was already, you know, preaching and you know, I had been healed of cancer. So they heard about it. They were told about the boy preacher. So they invited me. And so I lay hands on this lady and I prayed for her and I felt the anointing. But next thing I know, the next day, they call my parents and they tell us that she had gone to be with the Lord, you know. So that was very disappointing, you know. I got to be honest. I'm like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. I thought she was going to get healed. But then, you know, next thing I know, you know, God is using me to ship her to heaven, you know. So it's like, okay, cool. The next week, I get invited to another house to pray for another lady who is laying in her bed. She is dying. And, you know, people heard my testimony. They wanted me to pray for her. So I went and prayed for her. And the same thing happened. She went to be with the Lord. I'm like, God, this is not a good reputation, all right? I'm going to be known as the evangelist of shipping people to heaven, all right? This is not a good reputation. I don't want this reputation. But I just took steps of faith. Even though the first two people that I prayed for went to heaven, you know? Not because they were transported to heaven. They died. They went to be with the Lord. Hello? So I basically, God used me to ship them off, you know? Don't be scared. That happened many years ago. Many years ago. So, the next lady I prayed for, she had cancer in her bones. And a rare type of cancer. And she comes to the meeting. She looks, so sick. That lady was skinny and sick. And you could see the spirit of death just hovering around her. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to pray for the lady and go and lay hands on her. And, you know, I was kind of hesitant. I was like, are you sure, God? She looks very sick. I'm not sure if I should get close to her, you know. But I went. I just lay hands gently. I rebuked the spirit of cancer and I prayed because it takes baby steps of faith. When you want to see the supernatural in your life, you need to take baby steps of faith, you know. And I laid hands, prayed for her. 2 weeks later, she comes back with a medical report. She was cancer-free. Come on, church. At least I didn't, you know, God didn't ship her to heaven. You know, she was healed. So that was good. So then I started seeing miracles. People getting healed of cancer, tumors, hernias. You know, one time I remember I was in this big church, 5,000 people. They had, you know, they were televising the meeting, and it was being televised nationwide. And there was a lady sitting in a wheelchair, and I had never prayed for anyone in a wheelchair before. And I, you know, I had seen a lot of miracles on TV. You know, back in those days, This Is Your Day with Benny Hinn. And, you know, it was kind of a, you obviously you saw that, and you were familiar with those miracles, you know, I wanted to see one of those miracles in my meetings, but I never dared to pray for someone in a wheelchair. I didn't have the faith, or I wasn't bold enough to do it. And then the Holy Spirit challenged me one day and said, you know, during that meeting, it happened in that meeting. I'm like, God, you could have done it in a smaller meeting, you know. You could have done it like in that church, you know, around the corner that I went to last week, you know, and he had like 20 people. Why are you asking me to pray for this lady in the wheelchair in front of 5,000 people? You know, that was a big jump of faith. That was not a baby step of faith. That was a big jump of faith. And I had no idea what was going to happen. So I see the lady, and the Lord keeps telling me, go and pray go and pray. Lay hands on her. I'm going to heal her tonight. And I'm like, no, you know, at this point, I'm like, no, I'm wrestling with God. I'm like, no, No, there's no way. I'm not going down steps. I'm not praying for the lady. God, the meeting is being televised, you know. Like, it's being recorded. I mean, thousands of people are watching this meeting live. Seriously, don't put me in this situation. I don't want to pray for the lady. So I just kept refusing, you know. Just, you know, I was like Jonah, like disobeying. Like, no, I'm not going to do it. Mm-mm, no, 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 God, not, no. I'm happy just praying for the people and seeing the Holy Spirit moving. And I'm happy just having an altar call and, you know, getting souls saved. And, you know, I was going through the motions of the meeting. And God spoke to me the third time. This one, it was, you know, it sounded like a really strong, loud voice, you know, with authority. It was God himself saying, go and pray for that lady now. Yes, sir. Okay, so I approached her. You know, it takes baby steps of faith. God wants to use you in a mighty way, but sometimes you're going to have to take baby steps of faith. You're going to have to let go of your comfort zone. You're just going to have to jump by faith. You don't know what's on the other side, but God is going to help you. He's going to back you up. He is going to show you his glory, not because he wants to pump you up or pump your pride or do something to you, but he wants to show you his glory because he cares about you. And because he wants to use you. And ultimately, he wants to grow you and he wants to stretch your faith. So I'm looking at this lady, right? And I'm just laying hands, like, gently, you know, praying gently and just asking God to heal her. I wasn't like, oh, in Jesus' name, be healed and get up and walk. You know, I wasn't doing any of that. I was just praying gently. Jesus touched her body. And then all of a sudden, like that, she gets up. And I'm standing right in front of her, just smiling. She's like, I'm ready to walk. The Lord healed me tonight. I'm ready to walk. She hadn't walked in 29 years. So she's standing there. And then, you know, I grab her arm, you know, gently. And I'm, you know, trying to lead her and walk with her. And she's like, let me go. Let me go. Let me do this, you know. And there was a point where she just let go of my hand and she started walking, not just walking, but almost sprinting. Like, she was like so excited, you know. And then the whole place erupted in praise and worship. And God just touched many people. And then the service that was supposed to be a 2-hour service turned into a 7-hour meeting. Because almost 800 people wanted prayer. I'm like, thank God. The Holy Spirit had me working really hard that day, I'm telling you. When you worship, God is going to show you his heart. He's going to show you the intimate secrets. The Holy Spirit is just going to open your eyes and you're going to be able to see. Your spiritual senses are going to become sharper. You know, how many of you love what God is doing in this nation? How many of you know that we are in a battle, in a lifetime battle for the future of this nation? Come on, raise your hand. You know, I'm glad that I think this coming Saturday, I just heard in the news, in November, there's going to be a plebiscite and a postal vote, and people are going to have, the blessing, you know, we can call it a blessing to vote. And actually let the government know what, you know, how they feel. And that's good. Instead of the big politicians making up their minds and making a decision that's going to affect the whole nation, it's good for everybody to be involved in the process. And I pray and hope the church in Australia nationwide will send a resounding no to Canberra, because we need revival in this nation. Amen. How many of you agree with that? We need revival. So we need more worshipers in spirit and truth. We need more intercessors. We need people that are listening to God constantly. We need people that are walking in the supernatural. We need people that are, you know, people are not going to come into the kingdom unless they see God moving, unless they see the miracles. You know, you can do friendship evangelism, you can do relationship evangelism, and it can work to some degree, but there is going to be a point where God wants to use you. There's going to be a point where God is going to ask you to do something that is adventurous, that is daring, that you've never done it before, and you're just going to have to take that step of faith and do it. If you're having a coffee, and God is speaking to you about the other person's condition, And you know, you may think, you know, because I know here in Australia, relationship evangelism is a big deal. And that's how most people come into church or come across someone who is a believer or come, you know, in contact with the church because of relationship, relational evangelism. You know, people have a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, and that's how they talk about Jesus. And some believers don't even talk about Jesus. You know, 10 years can go by and you can know the same person and you don't talk about Jesus because it's almost like a no-go. But I pray that God will raise an army of people in this nation that are bold enough to proclaim the gospel 24/7, to proclaim the gospel in every corner, in every shop, in every mall, in every, come on church, to proclaim the gospel in every setting, no matter where you are, God is going to use you. You know, I was at my daughter's birthday party. I was at a friend's birthday party. And my wife was with me and my daughter, and we were having fun, and we were just hanging out. And then, you know what happens when you go to a party and people just talk, and they introduce you, and you start talking about different things, politics, sports, and blah, blah, blah. And there was this guy standing next to me, and the Lord speaks to me, gives me a word of knowledge. And God says to me, he's got a back injury, and he has been hurting. He's dealing with a lot of pain. You need to pray for him. And I'm like, God, I'm at a birthday party, you know, like, you know, and I'm not even supposed to do this. But anyways, so I tell him, I give him the word of knowledge. And he goes, yep, I had a back injury a long time ago, blah, blah, blah. He tells me that. Then I pull him outside and 5 minutes later, I'm praying for both of them outside in the middle of the heat, the summer heat, you know, like in 42 degrees. You don't feel the fire of the Holy Ghost. You just feel the sun, you know, just, you know, hitting you. And I'm praying, and the Lord heals him like that on the spot outside at a birthday party. So sometimes you got to do things that are outside of your comfort zone to see God glorified in your life. So, Father, I pray that tonight you will use us, you will pour your spirit upon us, you will reveal us and show us your glory, and you will touch us and get us, Lord, closer. You will bring us closer to you, Lord God. We love you, we desire you, and we worship you, and we long after you. Can you just pray in the spirit? Holy Spirit, we love you. 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 We love you, Lord. Can we have some worship maybe in the background, or I don't know if you want to do it. Just ask the Lord, Lord, how can I become a worshiper? Lord, how can I learn? How can I spend more time with you? God, help me reevaluate my life. Lord God, I know that my priority should be staying, remaining, spending time in your presence. My priority should be worshiping your name. My priority should be to become a worshiper. I don't just want to be a nominal believer. I want to be a worshiper. I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. You know, destiny and calling, they're connected. I was reading this book called, it is called Call to Proclaim by Bill Newman. If you're familiar with Bill Newman, he was one of the greatest evangelists in the 70s, I think, in Australia. He was like the Billy Graham of Australia. Or even after that, I mean, he's a distinguished Australian speaker since 1978. God has used him to address audiences of thousands of people And he gave me this book a few days ago. I was in his office and he gave me this book. And I read this chapter. You know, I'm not, when I read a book, I don't read it from chapter 1 to chapter 20. I just go, look, chapter 8, read chapter 8, go to chapter 2, read chapter 2. How many of you read like that? Or how many of you read like from 1 to 20? Like, you know. So anyways, I was reading this and it was powerful. And the Lord showed me, this connection between destiny and your calling. John Wesley was known the persistent preacher. His life spanned from 1703 to 1791. And it says, when some English villagers on February 9, 1709, formed a human ladder and pulled a five-year-old boy named John Wesley through the second-story window of a burning parsonage, these rescuers plucked, as it were, a brain from the fire, one who under God would be largely responsible for saving England from the bloodbath of a French Revolution by building the fires of the great Wesleyan revival. And you know what God spoke to me when I read this? The Lord said, the same boy that I rescued from the fire was the same boy and the same man that carried the fire all throughout England, rode by horse, thousands of miles, preaching the gospel. The question for you tonight is, what's going to be your name? How are people going to know you for? Are you going to be known as this fire carrier? Are you going to be known as an intercessor? Are you going to be known as a servant, as a vessel? Are you going to be known as someone who helped and made a difference in society? Are you going to be known as someone who actually carried the fire, the torch of the gospel, and made a difference in this area, in this state? Close your eyes and just think about that. Jesus, my destiny is connected to my calling. I don't just want to be someone who warms a pew or warms a chair and just comes to church for 30 years and years go by and I'm not doing anything. I want to be someone who's proactive, someone who's building the community, someone who's making a difference, someone who's carrying the fire, someone who's encouraging. I want to be known like someone who is loving and sowing seeds and just building people. I want to be known as a builder. I want to be known as someone who is going to be responsible for the great revival in the South Lane of the Holy Spirit. I want to contribute. I want to be part of it. I don't want to be just an spectator. I don't want to be looking. I don't want to be just watching what God is doing from afar. I want to be involved. I want to get my hands. I want to roll my sleeves and I want to be involved and I want to be part of it because I want my name on it. Thank you, Jesus. The anointing is so strong here. I'm going to ask you to please stand up and just raise your hands and just pray in the Spirit. Oh, Jesus. And I'm going to have a time of impartation. I'm going to call it revival impartation. So I know the revival spirit is in the house. The Holy Spirit is in the house. So I'm going to pray for impartation. I'm going to pray for revival impartation. Oh, if you are ready, if you're like, God, do something in my life. I'm tired of the routine. I want to see you, God, glorified in my life. If you need a breakthrough tonight, if you need a miracle tonight, if you need a touch from heaven, if we could just turn up the worship music just a little tiny bit louder. So if you want a breakthrough from God, I want to ask you to come forward. And that's all what we're going to do is we're just going to join hands. We're just going to come forward, and we're just going to form a line, just a line, just one line. Just the other way, looking this way. Holy Spirit, we just pray for your anointing and your fire and your Pentecost. Lord, we want to have another Pentecost. We want to have another Pentecost. We love you and we worship you and we want more of you. So if you want to, if you could join hands, that would be awesome. The Holy Ghost, just come. Come, release your glory. Release your anointing. Release your power. Build the saints. Equip the saints. Lord God, minister to us. Lord God, we pray for the revival in this land. We pray for the revival in the Southland of the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord God, that from the east to the west, from the north to the south, that the whole land of Australia will be saturated with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. We pray, Lord God, that this nation will be covered with the oil, the fire, the wine of the Spirit. We pray, Lord God, that the gates of heaven will be open and that the abundance of rain will come upon this land and that everywhere in this land will be churches, strong churches, apostolic churches, prophetic churches, that there will be churches that are willing to proclaim, that are willing to see and make a difference. Lord, we pray that you will resurrect the churches, that you will equip the saints nationwide, that you will, Lord God, prepare an army everywhere from Cairns to Melbourne, from Melbourne to Darwin, from Darwin to every part of Australia, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, to Alice Springs, from Alice Springs to Perth, from Perth to Broome, from Broome, hallelujah, to Tasmania. God, we just pray that your Spirit will cover this land. Come on, church, begin to pray. Begin to pray for revival. Begin to pray for revival. And as you are praying, you are building your spirit and you are allowing the Holy Spirit to pour His anointing, to pour revival, to give you the seed, the impartation, the mantle, the love, the calling. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Release it now. Fire. 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 Fire, 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 fire. Let your fire burn in us. So I'm going to pray and release now. Please just raise your hands and believe God for your miracle. I just need one volunteer with me while I'm praying. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, oh Jesus, touch, touch, touch. The Lord says, I've given you the anointing of a warrior. The spirit of Deborah is upon you. The Lord says, I'm giving you an assignment. God says, don't be afraid. God says, this is the time where you're going to move forward. God says, I'm going to open great doors for you. God says, your breakthrough is coming. God says, this is the time of your promotion. This is the time where I'm going to use you in a mighty way. There's a prophetic anointing upon you. Lord, I release the anointing of revival. I release the anointing of revival. Touch. I release the anointing of revival. Touch in Jesus' name.
The Lord says, I'm going to use you in the marketplace. I'm going to use you as a voice, as an instrument. I am making changes. The Lord says, I am doing things in your life. I'm pulling out some things that are not meant to be there. The Lord says, and I'm closing some doors, but I'm opening some other doors. God says, it's been a process of just completely surrendering and letting go of your preconceived ideas. God says, the way you thought things were going to work out, they're not working out. Those things are not working out. But the Lord says, don't be discouraged and don't be dismayed, because what I'm actually doing is I'm opening new doors, because what you're used to, what you're familiar with, is not going to be like that. It's going to be different, God says. I'm going to surprise you. I'm going to show you my glory in a supernatural way. So I see the Lord crowning you with this crown of his presence, and you're going to carry the gospel. You're going to carry the seed of the gospel. You're going to carry the anointing in the marketplace. Touch him, Holy Ghost. Fire! Fire! So I see you like David out in the field, and I see you with the slingshot, and I see you facing Goliath. You've had many challenges, and the Lord says, I'm giving you the anointing of David. The Lord says, you will not. Any Goliath that comes on your way, you will knock them. You will knock him out. The Lord says, I've given you an anointing. I've given you an anointing to disciple. I've given you an anointing to equip. I've given you an anointing to love on people. I've given you an anointing. The Lord says, you will walk. You will walk in a different journey. God says, I'm opening a new chapter for you. It is a chapter of restoration. I sense in the spirit, and I see that the old chapter, the previous chapter, there were some losses. There were some losses. You had to count your losses. There were some issues where the enemy was trying to knock you down, and the enemy was using circumstances to divert you, to send you in a different direction. But I see the Lord pulling you. I see the Lord protecting you, and I see the Lord putting his hand on you, because you're his David. The Lord said, don't be afraid. You carry my anointing, and I will use you as a mighty voice. Touch him, Holy Ghost. Touch him, Holy Ghost.
The name I get in the spirit is Jonathan. You will assist, you will help, and you will bless and build others. But I see that you've been through, in the spirit, I see that you've been through some dark times. And I see you coming out. The Lord has spared you. The Lord has protected you. But I see that in the world, the enemy tried to destroy you. There were many temptations and many offers and many offers put on the plate. But the Lord says, the Lord is showing me that even while you were going through that, he protected you. He had his hand upon you. The Lord says, you have a powerful testimony. I rescue you from many circumstances. Even you were near, even you were on the brink of devastating circumstances, devastating situations in your life. But the Lord says, I had my hand upon you, and your destiny is secured in me. The Lord says, don't be afraid. I'm going to use you. You are bold. You have this boldness about you. You have this personality. And the Lord says, I'm going to use you to win many souls, many people that are broken, many men that are broken, many men that are hopeless, many men that don't have a destiny, many men that cannot be approached by a regular church folk. God says, I'm going to use you, and you will have a voice of impact. And God says, I'm going to use you to bring, I'm going to bring you closer to those men so that you can witness to them, so that you can sow a seed.
seat so that you can love on them. God says there is an anointing upon you, and I'm realigning your steps, and I'm sending you in a different direction. God says this is the time of your breakthrough. You've been waiting for a breakthrough. You've been waiting for a breakthrough. I see a breakthrough coming to your life, even a financial breakthrough. God says don't be afraid and don't be anxious, because the anointing is preparing you for the next season. Touch him, Holy Ghost. Come on, raise your hands and pray in the Spirit. Holy Ghost. You've been waiting upon me. You've been waiting for the breakthrough. The Lord says the doors, the enemy can, there are new doors. The Lord says, I'm opening new doors. And this is the time of your release. This is the time of your launching. God is going to launch into something bigger and greater. And I sense this is a new season for you. This is a season of complete healing, a season of complete restoration. Oh, Rebbe Sheker, you carry this mantle, this prophetic mantle, and it's going to be developed over the next few months. And God is going to use you even more acutely. The words are going to be more precisely. The Lord says, I'm going to use you to restore many broken people. The Lord says, I've had my hand upon you. And even though the enemy tried, I see in the spirit that a few months ago, there was a time where the enemy tried and attempted to knock you down with issues that came, that popped up, circumstances. You went through a bit of a storm. You went through a bit of a rough patch. But I sense the Lord, in the spirit, I see the Lord, you know, I see the angels guarding you, protecting you, and guiding you through that process. It wasn't an easy process, but the Lord pulled you out. And the Lord says tonight, I have a destiny for you, my daughter. I have a destiny for you. I have a calling for you. And I see the Lord crowning you. And I see the Lord putting his hand on you. And I see this prophetic anointing falling on you. And I see the anointing of the Holy Spirit just coming on you. Touch your Holy Ghost. Fire! The Lord is unlocking something in you. You are a warrior. You are an intercessor. And when you pray, you mean it. And when you pray, the demons listen to your voice. And when you pray, the kingdom of darkness shake. I sense the Lord is going to take your anointing to a new level. I sense that the Lord is going to take your spiritual warfare to a new level. The Lord says, don't be afraid. I'm going to use you to set the captives free. There's an anointing in you. I see this set of keys. God has given you this set of keys. And God says, go to every prison cell and set the captives free. I see you going in the spirit. I see you setting people free. And I see God using you in a mighty way. But the Lord is unlocking something. But I see at the same time, God is dealing with some issues from the past. I see the Lord is healing some wounds. The Lord is healing some loneliness. The Lord is healing some things from the past. Some things that didn't work out. Some things that you kind of buried in the depth of your soul. That you haven't talked to anyone. That you haven't shared anything with. But God is dealing with those things. And the Lord says, I'm healing you. I am closing those wounds, but I am also releasing you. I am launching you into your calling. I am launching you into your calling. And so I sense the Lord covering you with this beautiful mantle. It's almost like a gold mantle, like a beautiful gold mantle. And God is putting that mantle on you. And that's the mantle of his glory. And the Lord is saying, you are securing me. Your identity is securing me. The Lord says, every time you look at yourself in the mirror, you're going to see my glory. You're going to see the beauty. You're going to see the beauty that I have put in you, the Lord says. You're going to see. The Lord says sometimes you look at yourself and you look down on yourself. Sometimes you reject. Sometimes you despise what you carry. But the Lord says don't despise it anymore. So I break that spirit of inferiority. I break that spirit of, God, I don't know if I have what it takes. I break it in the name of Jesus. I sense the Lord just releasing you, thrusting you. The Lord is almost like sending you forward. And the Lord says, don't be afraid. I'm standing by your side. And I'm going to open doors. Doors that men cannot open. The Lord says, I'm releasing you. I'm releasing you. I'm releasing you. This is your time. This is the season. I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you. I'm releasing you. You will see a mighty harvest. You will see a mighty harvest. So in the mighty name of Jesus, touch your Holy Ghost. Touch your Holy Ghost. Come on, just raise your hands and pray in the Spirit. Oh, oh, oh. Come on, raise your hands and pray in the Spirit. Oh, Jesus. 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 Lord, I just prayed for healing. In Jesus' name. Oh, the breakthrough, the joy. I see this anointing of joy being released upon your life. The breakthrough is coming. The breakthrough is coming. The Lord says, don't worry about your family. Don't worry about your family. You've been worrying too much. You've been very anxious about some things. And you've been asking me, God, why? Why is this happening? Why? And God says, don't be concerned. I know what you're going through, the Lord says. I know. And I've been through there. I've been through those things. And the Lord says, every time you go through that, I'm standing there by your side. And I'm helping you work through those issues. The Lord says, you're not alone. I'm standing by your side. And the breakthrough is coming to your family in Jesus' name. Touch her, Holy Ghost. The breakthrough is coming to your family. Oh, come on, church, begin to pray in the Spirit. The breakthrough is coming to your family. The breakthrough is coming. The breakthrough is coming. The breakthrough is coming. I release it in the mighty name of Jesus. You're just seeing the beginning of your destiny. You're seeing the beginning of great events in your life. The Lord says you're just seeing the beginning of many things. The Lord says, I'm calling you into a season of activation. I'm calling you into a season where I'm going to launch you. And I see you even traveling. I see you going to places. I see you even carrying out projects in the kingdom of God. And I see you being very active. And you're like, God, what about our health? What about our age? God says, no, it doesn't matter. I'm going to use you even at this point in your life. God says, I'm going to use you. I have a plan for both of you, and I'm going to use you. So I see the Lord putting a mantle on both of you, and I see the Lord sending you out, and I see the Lord preparing you for what is coming for the next season. There is a missionary project that has been in your heart for a long time. You've been praying about it. You've been asking me. You've been dreaming about it. You've been laying the foundation. You've been dreaming about it. You've been thinking about it. You've been crying about it, over it. And the Lord says, the spirit of Nehemiah has been there. You've been trying to raise awareness, and you feel like this is not going to happen. But God says it will happen. Touch them, Holy Ghost. Worship him, worship him, worship him, worship him, worship him. Oh, you're a good, good Father. Oh, who you are.
Lord is calling you. The Lord is calling you out of this cave. I see that. Almost out of this shell. And for so long you've been struggling with fear. And the Lord is calling you out of this season of whether you can or can't, like insecurity, like, God, are you sure? Are you sure I'm able to do this? Are you sure I can do this? And God says, you can. You're my daughter. You're my beloved one. And for so long you've been doubting. You've been hesitating. You've been feeling like you don't have what it takes. You've been feeling like you're not strong enough. And you've been almost like you've been facing the storm and braving the storm. And it hasn't been easy. It hasn't been easy. It's been tough. It's been really tough. But I see the Lord just putting His hands on you. And I see the Lord just filling you with new oil. New oil, new oil, new oil. And I see the Lord changing your wineskin from the old wineskin. From the old wineskin. You come from a sense that there was a lot of like almost like religion and packaging in your life. And God is just breaking the old wineskin and building a new wineskin. And the Lord says, I'm pouring oil, new oil in the new wineskin. And I'm building a strong, bold woman in you. A strong, bold woman, prophetic woman. The Lord says, for so long, you've been almost like hiding under this shell. Like, God, I'm not able. Like, God, I can't do it. God, I'm not sure. God, I'm not sure if I can do it. But God says, you have my spirit. You have my word. You have my promises. And today I'm setting you free from every aspect of fear. Everything that has been tormenting you. Everything that has been tormenting your mind. Every thought, every idea, every in Jesus' name. And I just sense the Lord coming, the Lord's hand I just sense the Lord just pouring a new anointing and rebuilding you. And what the enemy stole from you, it will be given back to you. The Lord says this is a season of restoration and a season of gaining, the season of regaining the ground. You thought you were losing the ground. You thought it was over. You thought you couldn't. You thought you couldn't win this battle. But God says, I'm winning for you. God says, I'm overcoming for you. I'm going before you. I'm opening doors that men cannot shut. God says, I'm standing beside you. And I am building you and equipping you and preparing you for the next level of your ministry in Jesus' name. Come on, just worship the Lord. Oh Lord, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to prophesy over everyone, but we'll just keep praying. Just worship the Lord. There is an assignment God has given you, and all I hear the Lord is saying, that assignment has been due, overdue. And that assignment, the Lord says, the time is now. Not tomorrow, not in 2 years, not in 10 years. The time is now. I'm releasing you. For so long, you've been wondering if the light is yellow or green. But the Lord says the light is changing color now. And is going from yellow to green. And God says, move forward. The blessings will come. The moment you step forward, the moment you do what you're called to do, the Lord says, I will bring the blessings and I will open the doors. And I just sense the Holy Spirit preparing you for this new assignment. And I also sense that God is going to use you to set the captives free. God is going to use you in the ministry of intercession and warfare. You are a powerful intercessor. You are a powerful intercessor. And the enemy is afraid of you. And you're giving birth
8th today. This is 8th, 8th, 8th. Today is the 8th of August of 2017. And if you add 7 plus 1, that's 8. So it's triple 8. And there is a sign. Today's date. Mark it in your calendar. God says this is a day where I am releasing you. I am releasing you. I'm releasing the potential, the ministry, the calling. You are giving birth a new calling. You are giving birth a new ministry in your life. The Lord says, I'm releasing you. And the Lord says that this is the day, oh Ramashen, where I'm changing the mantle. I'm changing your anointing. I sense the Lord. You've been through some battles. You've been through some issues. You've been through some hardships. And so I see your mantle. It's kind of worn out and kind of, it's got a few spots. And God is changing it and putting and giving you a new mantle. And this mantle is beautiful gold and it shines. And the Lord says, I'm giving you a new mantle. I'm restoring your anointing. I'm taking you to a whole new level. I'm restoring your anointing. I'm restoring your strength. God says you've been feeling kind of flaky, like weak, like you've been feeling kind of tired. But God says, I'm restoring your strength and I am repositioning you. I am repositioning you. This is a season of repositioning. The Lord says, I'm realigning your steps and I am mapping everything out. The Lord says, don't be afraid, for wherever I send you, you shall go and you shall do what I tell you to do. You are my Deborah and I will use you when you blow the shofar. The Lord says, the enemy shall flee before you. The Lord says, I will use you in the ministry of deliverance and I will even give you. The Lord says, there is a strong call to prayer, a strong call for prayer, and you have been praying for Israel. You have been praying for the Holy Land, and there's a strong call to prayer, and God is going to use you to connect you with people there and intercessors, and you will do great things. I see you building the kingdom of God in this city in Jesus' name. Lord, I just release the anointing. Oh, Rabash. I release the anointing. So just raise your hands and pray in the Spirit. I just sense the anointing coming upon you. I just sense the anointing coming upon you. Holy Spirit, just touch her. Just give her a double portion. And give her more, Lord God. Just bring healing upon her. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you need healing, place your hand where you need healing. And I'm going to pray for you. Place your hand where you need healing. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I bind every spirit of disease, every spirit of sickness. In Jesus' name, I bind every pain. And I nail it to the cross. Come on, church. Come on, church. In the name of Jesus, I nail it to the cross. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, because you are healing. You are healing. You are healing everyone here. In the name of Jesus, you're bringing healing. You're restoring every broken body, every part of their body in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for a new calling of prayer in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Are you together? Can I pray for both of you?
You give me joy.
I hear the word spiritual wilderness, almost like it's been a dry season. It's been very slow. It's been it's affected you in different aspects, but especially financially. And you've been trying to save, and you've been trying to do a few things, but over the last
few months and even year or so, it's been very slow and hasn't been as fruitful and as prosperous as the other years were and proved to be. But it's been very slow for some reason in your business. Whatever you do, it's been just very slow. And I just sense the Lord speeding things up. And the Lord is opening new doors. And the Lord says, don't be afraid, because you are my pillars. You're my pillars, the Lord says, and I will bless you. Because you've been blessing my kingdom. And you've been so generous, and you've been giving and giving and giving. And the time of your harvest is coming. The Lord says, the time of your harvest is coming. I have heard your prayer. It's been difficult. There have been times where you've been wondering, how it's going to work out? Like, how is this going to work out? But God says, don't look at it from a reasoning point of view. Don't look at it from a human perspective, from a logical perspective, because I will move my hand. And the Lord says, very soon, very soon, very soon, things are going to happen. There is going to be a repositioning, a realignment. There is going to be a shaking. And the Lord says, I will bring those blessings that I retain will be released in Jesus' name. And I just see the Lord releasing His abundance and releasing His resources and releasing His blessings and everything. And I see the Lord opening almost like opening the tab. And I see the water flowing and just flashing. And I see the blessings just coming in the name of Jesus. So I speak blessings. I speak abundance. And I speak prosperity. And I speak in Jesus' name. I speak acceleration. And I thank you, God, for what you're going to do in this couple. In this couple, in Jesus' name, I bless them. And I thank you, God, because the season of acceleration is coming. The Lord says the wilderness is over and the promised land is ahead of you. It's ahead of you. Touch your Holy Ghost in Jesus' name. Touch Him, Holy Ghost, and give Him strength, Lord God. Give Him strength, because sometimes you've been feeling like, oh boy, I don't have the strength anymore to face these issues. But God is giving you strength tonight. God is giving you strength tonight in Jesus' name. So Father, I pray that everyone here who needs a miracle, who needs a healing, everyone who needs a miracle, Lord, I just pray that you will just bring your presence, that every broken bone, every broken tendon, every disc that is out of place, Lord God, I pray that you will put it back in place. I pray, Father God, that you will touch every spinal cord. I pray, Father God, that you will touch the neck, the arms, the shoulders, the fingers, Lord God. I pray in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that there will be healing, supernatural healing in the name of Jesus. Rejoice, 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 for your breakthrough is coming. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. For the Lord has heard your prayer. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. For the time, the Lord says, the time of dancing and celebrating has come. Rejoice, rejoice. For this is the time, the Lord says, where the gates of heaven, the doors that you were expecting to open will open. Opportunities, new opportunities will come. The Lord says, rejoice, 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 for your breakthrough has come. Rejoice, for the blessing will come in Jesus' name. Lord, I just release your blessing. I release your favor in Jesus' name. Touch your Holy Ghost. I release it. I release it. The blessing. You've been praying. You've been asking God for your future. You have a lot of questions. God, what about my future? What about my destiny? What about this? What about that? And you've been waiting. You've been making plans, but you don't know if everything is sort of in the air. And there are some really crucial decisions that you need to make in the next few months. And you've been wondering, how am I going to do this? But God says, just wait upon me, and I will guide you and show you what to do in every door that you need to knock on.
on. The Lord says, don't get desperate. Sometimes you tend to rush things. Sometimes you tend to get desperate because you want a response right away. You want a breakthrough right away. But the Lord says, don't settle for Ishmael, but settle for Isaac. The Lord says, I am going to bless you in a supernatural way, but I want you to settle for my blessing and not for the blessing of your own doing. The Lord says, you will not walk in just the Lord says, don't walk in my permissive will, but walk in my perfect will, and everything will happen and will work through in Jesus' name. Oh, Rabba Sheketerebe. Oh, I just release the anointing in Jesus' name. Lord, I just pray for open doors, for open doors, for breakthrough, 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 breakthrough in Jesus' name. Breakthrough. Come on, church. Just pray for breakthrough right now. In Jesus' name, breakthrough. Touch your Holy Ghost. I just pray for breakthrough in your family. Just breakthrough. Breakthrough upon breakthrough in Jesus' name. I see the Lord with a pair of cutters just cutting some strings. Cutting some things that have been holding you back. Because God is releasing you. And I just sense in the spirit that the next chapter of your life, the next season where God is taking you, it is a season of breakthrough and a season of freedom, complete freedom. See, you've been enjoying freedom, but to some degree you've been holding back and you've been held back by some circumstances and some strings. And I don't know what it is, but I see some strings in the spirit. But I see the Lord with a big pair of cutters just cutting those strings. And I see the Lord preparing you for the next season. And the next season is the season of breakthrough. It's a season of complete freedom and complete breakthrough. So I speak that breakthrough over your life in Jesus' name. And I release the breakthrough in the name of Jesus. No more fear, no more fear, no more fear in Jesus' name. Just complete breakthrough, God. I thank you, Jesus. Lord, just use her as a worshiper. Use her in the creative field. Just use her, Lord God. In Jesus' name. You have many talents. And God has given you this really special anointing. And you will be a worshiper, I sense in the spirit, that you will worship Him. And there's an anointing upon you. And you're very creative in everything you do. You like drawing. You like to do a lot of things, creative things. You're very creative. And that's the personality God has given you. And the Lord says, I'm going to use you in the creative. And you will bless many people in the creative field. Don't be afraid. That's your anointing. And I've gifted you with many things. So it's almost like the Lord is just placing a mantle on you. So Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will bless her and just open doors for her in Jesus' name. Touch her, Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. Touch her, Holy Ghost. Touch her, Holy Ghost. Fill her up, Lord. Everything, Lord God, I pray that you will just complete this cycle in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you. I release in the name of Jesus your blessing, your breakthrough. Thank you, Father. Now, what I want you to do is I want to form like small groups of three. And I want you to just get together and pray for one another. And whatever the Lord shows you about that person, I want you to speak it. So this is going to be a time of activation. And whatever the Lord shows you, whether the Lord shows you a picture or an image, or if the Lord shows you, if the Lord whispers in your ear a word or something, and I want you to release that word over your neighbor. So let's all do that. Let's get together in groups of three or four, and let's just get together and pray for one another. And then I'm going to pray for the sick. And then we're going to wrap up the meeting. But before we wrap up the meeting, I want to do this so that the body of Christ releases the voice, the anointing, the gifts. So please do it. Let's all do it. Let's get together in groups of four. Come on, let's all get together in groups of three or four. And if you get a picture, if you get an image, if you get a word, if God speaks to you, don't be afraid. Don't hold back. Let's bless each other and let's build each other up, because this is where God will activate your gift, and this is where God will activate your anointing, and this is where God will do something supernatural, unexpected in your life. Thank you, Lord. Everyone is going to get a word. I sense it in the spirit. There's going to be words, visions, revelation, whatever you're getting. If you get a picture, please say it. If you get a vision, please say it. Whatever you see in the spirit, don't be afraid. Don't hold back. Please say it. Please release it for the benefit and the edification of the saints. The Lord says, just be strong. The Lord says, I know what you've been through. And the Lord says, I love you and I'm pouring my love on you. The Lord says, I'm your provider. The Lord says, I'm Jehovah Jireh. I'm El Shaddai. I'm going before you. I'm making a way for you. The Lord says, even when it seems impossible, even when it seems too hard, even when it seems too difficult, even when it seems like the doors are shutting and there's nothing you can do, even when it seems like you're in the middle of the storm and you feel hopeless and you feel like you're not moving, the Lord says, I'm standing by your side. I know what you've been through. It's been a very, very difficult winter for you. But the Lord says, I'm standing by your side and I am giving you what you need. And I just see the Lord injecting faith, injecting hope, and just giving you, it's almost like the Lord is giving you a boost of faith today in Jesus' name. Let's pray for her. Lord, we just bless her. We pray that you will comfort her. We pray that you will just give her comfort and peace in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is comforting you. The Lord is comforting you. Someone else? Yeah? Your nephew. All right, Father, we just stand in the gap for our nephew now. In the name of Jesus, come on, intercessors, let's pray. We pray, Father, we send the word and we pray for healing right now. Lord, your word says there is no limits, there are no barriers, no frontiers, no limits, Lord God. There is nothing impossible for you. So we send the word forth and we pray for healing right now in the name of Jesus. We release healing in the name of Jesus. And we pray that you will do a supernatural miracle in his life, in the name of Jesus. Touch his body, Lord God. We just pray for a miracle. We send a miracle. And we thank you, God, because we will hear a powerful testimony of your healing power. In the name of Jesus, we bless your name. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody else? Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yes. So why don't we pray for her sight right now? Lord, we just pray that you will restore her sight, that she will have complete vision, that it will not be partial, but it will be complete in Jesus' name, that you will open her eyes, both of her eyes, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray that she'll be able to see clearly in the name of Jesus. We pray that this cloud, this blurry vision in the name of Jesus will go away in the name of Jesus.
We just pray for healing right now. Healing in the name of Jesus. We just pray and we bind the spirit of blindness in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Lord God, that any damage be reversed now in the name of Jesus. Bless you too. Bless you too. Now it's his turn. Yeah? So what's wrong with you? Your knees? Yeah? Do they ache? Yeah? Is that because of... I wasn't going to say that, but if you say it, that's fine. So just your ears are worn out. Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for healing right now. We pray that you will replace, touch his knees, Lord God. We just pray, Father, that you will give him just brand new knees in the name of Jesus. Come on, Churchill, let's pray now. We pray for a divine operation. Even if he needs a knee replacement, God, we pray for complete healing. Remove the pain in the name of Jesus and give him flexibility. Give him strength. Lord God, may he not suffer with knee pain in the name of Jesus. We pray. Shanda da bakato. So I want you to do this. Just do this. Shanda da bakato robo. Shende debe keto robo. How do you feel? Yeah. What about that one? Yeah. That one is getting better. This one.